welcome once again to The Blueprints. This is Canada's conservative podcast. I'm your host, Jamie Schmale, Member of Parliament for Halliburton, Kawartha, Lakes, Brock, with new content for you every single Tuesday, 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Don't forget to like, comment, subscribe, and share this program. There are ears that need to hear this message, eyes that need to see it as well. Of course, you can download it on platforms like CastBox, iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify, you name it. It is out there on today's show. Budget was tabled last week, and what a disaster that was. Also, some pretty serious developments in the foreign interference file. To talk about this and much, much more, we are bringing on Michael Cooper, the Member of Parliament for St. Albert Edmonton. Thank you very much for coming on the show once again.
Good to be here, Jamie.
We'll do a quick dive in about the budget quickly, and then we'll go even deeper next week. But I just wanted to kind of get this on the table before we get into probably the most serious part of what is going on underneath the surface, but the media seems to be taking a yawn, is the foreign interference. But the budget itself, we have higher spending, we have higher deficits, and there'll be more misery for Canadians very shortly.
Well, that's right. $40 billion deficit, another massive Liberal deficit. And just to give you an idea of the mountain of debt that has accumulated under Justin Trudeau, now in terms of all the revenue the federal government gathers from the GST, that covers merely debt servicing costs.
That's not even paying it off. That's just paying the interest.
That's like, just paying the interest.
All like almost all the, that is an incredible stat when you just try to put a picture in your mind.
Yeah. And you know, Justin Trudeau talks about how concerned he is about health care. And yet we pay more on interest under Justin Trudeau than the federal government pays to the provinces by way of the Canada Health Transfer. So the bottom line is it's more spending, more debt, and that means higher interest rates and even worse inflation, exacerbating the cost of living crisis that everyday Canadians are facing. And you know what's truly staggering is that when you watch Chrystia Freeland table the budget, she talks about all of these problems as if they've inherited
<That's>
them.
<right. laughs>
They've been in power for 9 years. These are problems that Justin Trudeau created.
That's right.
The cost of living crisis, the fact that housing costs have doubled, rent has doubled, food has never been more expensive, and Justin Trudeau is making it worse, of course, with another carbon tax hike last month, or as of April 1st.
Yeah, it seems like the government doesn't know what to do, right? I think they're just in panic mode right now, and they've been that way for a while after Justin Trudeau's losing traction amongst Canadians of all demographics and age levels. They're just in panic mode, but they don't necessarily believe what the Liberals of Paul Martin and Jean Chrétien did, more, you know, free market principles, allowing, enter free enterprise to create the economic conditions. They are almost to the point where they're starting to punish success now.
Well, and a big theme of the budget was growing government to take control away from everyday Canadians and putting it in the hands of the government. After 9 years of failure, what this budget was Justin Trudeau and Chrystia Freeland doubling down on 9 years of failed policies. Higher taxes, more spending, more debt, and more government.
It seems that they only have two speeds, big government and bigger government.
Exactly.
And they're just squeezing out. And of course, unfortunately, it's the middle class, or the shrinking middle class, that has to pay these bills. We'll get into a deeper dive next week about that, but I wanted to get your initial thoughts. It is pretty incredible, this budget, and unfortunately Canadians are going to have to pay the price on this one. Something that happened over the last few weeks is the public inquiry on foreign interference, but it was kind of a day story. But I can tell you, if Stephen Harper had been in charge and the revelations in this inquiry came out under Harper's watch, the media would be in full down meltdown mode and it barely getting a coverage. Why don't you give us a bit of an update on what's going on? We do have a clip play as well. Maybe just outline what has happened in the last little bit.
Well, what is coming out of the inquiry is confirmation that the Prime Minister was repeatedly briefed about Beijing's interference, including Beijing's interference in the 2019 and 21 elections, and the fact that Trudeau did nothing. He hid his knowledge of Beijing's interference from Canadians, and he essentially denied that he had been briefed when it was alleged that he had been last year, which led to this inquiry being launched. And we now know that the prime minister was not truthful in
his denials. Katie Telford said in the first round, Prime Minister Trudeau reads everything. And now, as you just pointed out, it's kind of, well, no, I didn't read it.
Well,
it's a bit of an issue.
Well, Telford, when she appeared before the Procedure and House Affairs Committee, was unequivocal. She said that the Prime Minister reads everything. When something is put on the Prime Minister's desk, he reads it.
I think we knew that wasn't true. But anyway.
Yes, and now the Prime Minister at the inquiry admitted, or at least in an interview before the inquiry with counsel for the inquiry, he said, well, in fact, he doesn't read really anything.
Yeah.
But sometimes he reads things, sometimes he doesn't. So clearly inconsistent with what Katie Telford said. Frankly, Katie Telford lied.
Yes.
And the Prime Minister has lied because he essentially denied that he was aware of Beijing's interference, that he hadn't really been briefed about these particulars around some of the activities of Beijing in 2019 and 21. We now know that that simply isn't true. The director of CSIS had briefed the Prime Minister repeatedly about these matters, and Justin Trudeau's chief of staff, Telford, Jeremy Broadhurst, his deputy chief of staff, when they appeared before the committee, they said, well, they were not briefed, and the director of CSIS didn't brief them using some of the language that they said was a surprise to them. And the director of CSIS was called back, and he confirmed that he had repeatedly briefed the Prime Minister about particulars concerning Beijing's interference. And so, again, this is a Prime Minister who covered up Beijing's interference. He was essentially prepared to go along with it so long as it benefited the Liberal Party.
That's right.
When he got caught in terms of covering, he tried to then cover it up. And so the Prime Minister has not been truthful about his knowledge and his acquiescence in essence to Beijing's interference.
But nothing is Justin Trudeau's fault. That's just a theme. No matter what goes wrong, not Trudeau's fault. It's really quite amazing. But at the same time, we have foreign actors influencing our elections. And this should be concerning to everyone, no matter what side of the fence you're on.
Absolutely. And just to also further illustrate the culture of this government, when there was interference and misinformation by Beijing in 2019 in terms of a Facebook post, the PCO told Facebook to take it down. The Prime Minister's personal department told Facebook to take that misinformation or disinformation down because it was negative towards the Prime Minister. Meanwhile, when the PCO, the Prime Minister's department, when the Prime Minister's election panel that he appointed supposedly to guard against foreign interference were informed that Beijing was spreading disinformation about the Conservative Party, about Aaron O'Toole, about sitting members of parliament like Kenny Chu, who ultimately lost a seat, no doubt in part because of Beijing's disinformation, if not entirely because of that, they were kept in the dark.
Yeah.
And so it shows that when it negatively impacts the Prime Minister, they're all over it. When it is targeting and hurting the Conservative Party and otherwise advancing the liberal agenda, they're all okay with it.
Yeah. It just goes to show you even the double standard too, right? Like, the media would be in full-blown meltdown mode had Stephen Harper participated in what Justin Trudeau was doing. That's why we say this type of thing should be relevant to anyone, any Canadian, regardless of what side you're on, because it shouldn't be used that way. The government should be clear with everyone, treating everyone the same. But if as you said, if it's benefiting the Liberal government, they will allow it to continue. If it's hurting, they will try to shut you down. We can also talk about the censorship legislation, but we don't want to go down that hole. But let's keep the interference part.
Right, and it's as bad as it is, but Justin Trudeau turned a blind eye to Beijing's interference because it benefited the Liberal Party. It gets worse because there is new explosive allegations that Justin Trudeau's inner circle, someone in Justin Trudeau's inner circle, leaked classified information to tip off Han Dong, who was the Liberal Member of Parliament for Don Valley North. He still is a Member of Parliament, not in the Liberal caucus, that Dong was being monitored by CSIS.
So he got the heads up in advance.
So what happened was, at the public inquiry, it was confirmed that top Liberal officials were briefed in September of 2019 that Beijing had interfered in the Don Valley North Liberal nomination to assist Han Dong. More specifically, Chinese students were threatened by and coerced by Beijing that they might lose their student visas and that there could be repercussions for them and their families if they didn't support Han Dong by showing up at the nomination. So Beijing interfered in that nomination. The Prime Minister's top Liberal officials, three of them, were briefed by CSIS. Another advisor to the Prime Minister, who also had a security clearance, was subsequently informed by one of the three Liberals who were briefed, and then the Prime Minister was briefed. Now, with that knowledge, the Prime Minister did nothing. Allowed Han Dong to remain as a Liberal candidate, and he welcomed him in to the Liberal caucus. And he was not long ago talking about how proud he was to have had Han Dong as part of the Liberal team. He doesn't like to talk too much about Han Dong now. But with regards to this leak, one of those officials leaked that classified information that in turn led to Han Dong being tipped off. Now, this is a very, very serious matter. It's a criminal matter. It is a contravention of the Security of Information Act, more specifically Section 4 of that act. It is an indictable offense, punishable by up to 14 years behind bars. So whichever, and it was a small number of people, we're talking about four people, plus the Prime Minister, who were either directly briefed by CSIS or who were briefed on the contents of that briefing. Who among them leaked that information? Because whoever did committed a crime, and if they were prosecuted and convicted, they could find themselves sitting in a federal penitentiary for a good decade.
Have the police opened up the investigation yet?
I have written to the RCMP, bringing to their attention the allegations that were made about this leak, allegations that were made by a top national security official. And I just want to underscore the seriousness of this. This is someone in Justin Trudeau's inner circle who, in leaking classified information, undermined the work of an active CSIS intelligence operation. They compromised CSIS's sources and methods and potentially compromised a CSIS, someone working or multiple persons who were working for CSIS. They could have put people's lives at risk. And they put the interests, once again, of the Liberal Party ahead of the national interest and ahead of national security.
And it seems the Liberal Party does that quite often, or at least this Prime Minister does. Let's cue up cut one. We have a quick clip to play. It just basically summarizes everything we've talked about, then we can expand a bit more on it. So let's play cut one.
A declassified summary of CSIS intelligence was entered into evidence late Thursday, in which CSIS reported that in 2021, some individual People's Republic of China officials in Canada made comments expressing a preference for a Liberal Party minority government.
As soon as they heard my Chinese name.
2 days ago, A 2021 conservative candidate, Kenny Chu, testified. Chu lost his re-election bid after a barrage of disinformation was aimed at him, disinformation that security officials believe may have been coordinated by China.
There you go.
There you go. And CSIS informed Justin Trudeau's election panel, and they sat on it. Kenny Chu was kept in the dark. And the Prime Minister had been later briefed about Beijing's interference in the 21 election, including specifically in Kenny Chu's riding. Now, members of Justin Trudeau's election panel, that again was appointed supposedly to guard against foreign interference, claimed that the threshold under the critical election incident protocol or critical incident protocol had not been met. The threshold had not been met. Well, that simply isn't true. If one actually reads the protocol, when candidates are being targeted by foreign interference, the protocol provides that they should be informed. Why was Kenny Chu not informed? And when you're talking about interference targeting multiple candidates, conservative candidates, and actually more broadly the Conservative Party, because Erin O'Toole was a target, the protocol provides that when it impacts a national election, that the public should be informed. Why wasn't the public informed? Justin Trudeau's election panel failed. They failed miserably. And as a result, Beijing was able to get away with sowing disinformation.
They politicized
amongst the Chinese, amongst the Chinese diaspora, that had a material impact in multiple ridings across Canada. So it's very concerning.
Absolutely. And incredibly, these members of parliament and others had won. Kenny Chu won in 2019 when the polls were riding high, and the polls were even higher nationally in these conditions in 2021. But somehow these individuals started to lose these seats when the vote share was going up. So it really didn't make any sense that this would happen, leading to these revelations that there was something more at play than just an unfortunate couple of turnouts in these ridings.
Well, that's right. And these were ridings that in many cases had been won by relatively comfortable margins as recently as 2019, and then suddenly these incumbents lost when, as you note, the overall conservative vote share was going up, not down, including in ridings that were neighboring ridings. And so what happened was that Beijing spread disinformation in a fairly sophisticated way, and there was a fairly sophisticated effort to suppress the vote amongst Chinese Canadians and to sow fear within the Chinese Canadian diaspora communities.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're pretty much out of time, as you know. The guests get the last word, so the floor is yours.
Well, we're going to work hard to continue to demand answers that Canadians deserve about what did the Prime Minister know, and what did he know about it, and what did he do or fail to do about Beijing's interference, and what it appears, based on what we're hearing at the inquiry, is that he covered it up and was happy to go along with it. And we need to get answers surrounding this leak. You know, who leaked this? Who leaked it? Who tipped off Han Dong? When did the Prime Minister learn about this criminal leak? And did he refer it to the RCMP, or did he cover it up? So lots of questions.
Michael Cooper, please keep up the good work. We appreciate your time. You're doing a fantastic job on this file. It's unfortunate the Liberals are keeping you so busy, But we do appreciate your time.
Keeping all of us busy with all of the scandals. It's tough to keep on top of.
It's absolutely incredible. It's time for this government to go. St. Albert, Edmonton is the riding. Michael Cooper is his name. Thank you very much. Thank you for your time as well. As I mentioned off the top, a very important topic. Not exactly getting the coverage, I think, and Michael thinks that it should, so we ask you to help us out. Please like, comment, subscribe, and share this program. Tell your friends. They can download it on platforms like CastBox, iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify. You name it, it is out there. New content every single Tuesday, 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Until next week, remember, low taxes, less government, more freedom. That's the blueprint.